Sex is the life force energy that runs through us all. The link between sex, creativity, and the sense of aliveness is strong. Can you use sexual energy for your spiritual evolution? Or perhaps for emotional healing? Is it even possible? Clinical sexologist Dr. Martha Tara Lee will explore all these and more on the Eros Evolution Show here on OM Times Radio and TV.
And hello, hello. This is Martha. I'm back. So today's episode is all about coming back and setting intention for this show. So a little bit about myself. So this is Eros Evolution or Eros Evolution. A little bit about myself. My name is Martha. I am a relationship counselor and clinical sexologist for the last 13 years. And previously, I was on OM Times Radio Network for 3 years. And that's 2015, 2016, 2017. And the last episode that aired was 2017, December 29. And it's been a 5-year break. And the reason why I decided that I really needed a break from doing the show was because it was purely auditory. And we were using the platform Skype at the moment, and it was very unstable. So it was very frustrating. And it was also at 5 a.m. my time, because the station was targeting more people, more of a U.S.-based audience. And now with the proliferation of social media and online show goes all over the world. And so it needed to be a time that worked for me. And so right now it is 9:05 a.m. Singapore time as we record this. And it is actually the first day of Chinese New Year. So happy Lunar New Year to everybody who celebrates it. It's also new moon, so it's a very special time. So it's the year of the tiger, and I'm a dragon. So now I'm telling my age, because every 12 years, the dragon comes back. So the dragon and tiger apparently does not get along. So my brother is a tiger, and when we get into contact with each other, we very often just cannot help kind bickering, or you know, the vibe is just like not great. But I love him a lot. Chris is saying he's a rat. So Chris is our station manager. So I think rats and dragons get along very well. So what happens is, it's the year of the tiger, and every year the Chinese astrologers would then put out announcements about how your luck is going to be this year. And they did a cross-section of your luck when it comes to money, romance, and relationships. And it seems that this year is the pits for dragon. Of all the signs, like, dragon has the worst luck this year. But I'm, you know what, when life gets rough, and the last 2 years has been rough for a lot of us because of COVID, I want you to know that just keep your head down. You know, there's a time to rest. There's a time to go for it, run for it. So there's a time and place for everything. So I'm not too bothered by it. And I also do not want to manifest any bad luck onto myself. So yes, happy Chinese New Year for everybody who celebrates it once again. And 恭喜发财, 新年快乐, 万事如意, 龙马精神, 红包拿来. So what I just said was just Chinese sayings about prosperity, and the last one was give me red packet. So that's just like a thing that kids do, and even now as an adult, I still do it. So back then, yes, it was purely auditory, being a podcast. And so right now, and then what happened is the last 2 years, because of COVID, there came a desire to express myself even more. and I just sat with it for I think at least 6 months. And it was so funny that when I thought about how I would want to do a podcast if I did it again, it always came back to it would have to have not just audio but visual as well. And if I had a chance, I would want to come back to Om Times Radio Network, because a lot of people who are doing podcasts, they struggle with getting audience, they struggle with doing all the work themselves. And Om Times Radio Network has been really good to me. They have been really supportive. I have had a good relationship with them. And so I decided to have a discussion with them, I think about 2.5 weeks ago. And then when I found out that actually there's the TV option also available, that was when I decided, yeah, I'm in, because I want to have the support and I want to have access to an audience that is spiritual and provide content that is probably not, I'm getting a message. Yeah. And have access to an audience that I probably normally wouldn't have. So I'm getting a comment here. It says, this is my family and I love them all. I really, really love the part of how Om Times Radio Network is about spirituality and being a spiritual person. I gravitate towards it. And it's so funny because I have a lot of degrees. I have 4 degrees. And I just tell you what the degrees are. I have a Bachelor of Arts in Communications. So that was my first degree, which I actually did while I was working full time. So it was really tough. And when I got a master's in public policy, thinking that I wanted to do international NGO work, which in the end I didn't want to pursue that anymore, I realized I had a gift of empathy and the ability to be very pick up on things. You can say psychic. And so then I decided that I wanted to be a counselor. So I went and got my doctorate in human sexuality. During that time when I was doing my doctorate in human sexuality, I was also getting other trainings in life coaching and in sex therapy. And actually, it was 1 year after I stopped doing the Om Times Radio Network that I also went and got my master's in counseling as well. And it was actually my master's in counseling that really allowed me to be kind of more legitimate in Singapore. And so that opened more doors for me. So in today's show, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself, my intention for the show, and what has happened to me in the last 5 years. For those of you who are interested about like who I am and my background, the host of this show. And from next week onwards, I will have different guests coming up. In fact, I have guests scheduled until April at the moment. Next week, we will have Polly Wild Asian. So it's polyamory. So we're going to have somebody talking about polyamory. Okay, so those of you who have been following my work might remember that my mom actually had been suffering from breast cancer for the last 10 years before I took a pause with Eros Evolution. And it was really tiring and tough witnessing somebody that you love becoming smaller and weaker by the day. And so when I ended the show the last time in 2017, my mom was getting worse and I was really tired. And she actually died the following year, 2018, in October. So for the whole year, I was actually having low energy. I was doing my master's in counseling and I manifested many house sitting opportunities. And I have always liked to go to beautiful places and kind of treat it as a retreat. And what happened was I wasn't conscious that I was manifesting these house sitting opportunities. Like that year, 2018, I manifested a lot more house sitting opportunities than I ever had my whole life. So each time I did the house sitting, I also wasn't conscious about it. I would find myself becoming really like tired and drained of energy. I would kind of collapse on the couch and just watch Netflix. And I would find myself missing my mom and becoming teary and finding myself crying because at home in front of mom, you don't give yourself permission to cry because I think those of you who are caregivers, who support people who are going through illnesses will know that like being upset and being scared doesn't really help the person who's really suffering the illness. So as caregiver, you kind of just suck it up. A lot of caregiving was really done by my dad. I really didn't do that much. But being a very sensitive person, I couldn't help but be really affected by the energy around her, and it permeated the whole house. And as a result, the whole year of that year, I was really just in survival mode. So yeah, that was 2018. And in 2019, because of my master's in counseling, I became the locum sexuality counselor for Singapore Cancer Society. And I have been working with them for the last 3 years, coming to 4 years now. So what I do is every 2 weeks, I go in and work with cancer survivors, supporting them around their relationship and sexuality challenges. And it's been 4 years and I'm still learning about different aspects of supporting people who are going through cancer. I've had the opportunity to support people who have gone through different types of cancer, from breast cancer, cervical cancer, lung cancer, prostate cancer, and people who wear stomach cancer, who have wear a stomach bag outside of their body. So cancer has always been something that I always wanted to support people with because of my mom, really. I may not be able to help everybody in every aspect, but I really wanted to support people who experience cancer, kind of like as something that I can help cancer survivors with, having had a mom who went through cancer. I'm not going to go into the gory details of how she passed away, but she did pass away relatively quickly and smoothly. She passed away in the hospital, and my friend was actually visiting during the time that she was hospitalized, and we all thought that she would come out of the hospital all right. And once my mom was moved from a shared ward to a private ward, meaning she had her own room, I moved into the hospital, and I made it clear to my mom. At first, it was only for one night, and then when I realized how my presence supported her, that's when I made the decision that I was going to move into the hospital and be there with her as much as I could between clients. So I canceled all my workshops and just decided to spend as much time as my mom. So yeah, I slept on the bed next to the sofa next to her bed, and each night she got worse and worse. And every night, somehow, I don't know why it doesn't happen in the day, but every night some incident would happen that made her weaker. One night she actually had a drug allergy, and she started to foam in her mouth. She basically died, and she had to be resuscitated. And the doctors asked me whether she had a medical directive, which she didn't, because we never thought she would be in such a serious condition so quickly. And so that really freaked me out. And the day before she died, she vomited, like something inside her came out of her. It was like, I don't know what it was. It couldn't have been a piece of liver, but it looked like it. And so when I saw blood coming out of her while I was trying to help her brush her teeth, then I kind of freaked out. And that was when the doctor told her she didn't have much time left. And that was also when I told my brother to come back from China. And he arrived that night. And that day, because my mom had been told by the doctor she didn't have much time left, she started to say goodbye to everybody who visited her that day. So she was very weak. And then the next morning, she had slipped into a coma and then she passed away. And I was there with her when she slipped into a coma, and I was there with her when she passed away. So I wouldn't have traded it for anything in the world. I actually chose to stay in Singapore because of my mom. I didn't know how much more time I would have with her. And I know I would blame myself if I wasn't there. So to be there when she passed away meant a lot to me. And when I tell my friends that I was there when my mom passed away, people would ask, where were your siblings, you know? And it's this like guilt tripping, like, you know, everybody should do their part. But that's not about it, is it? You know, I made a decision to be there for my mom, and it has nothing to do with who is right or who is wrong, or like who does more or who does less. You just support the person to the extent that you're able, and also to the extent that you're willing to. And so it's definitely not about any discord. So yeah, so anyway, that's the whole thing around my mom, and I'll talk more about it in another episode, I guess. But when you lose someone that has been in your life your whole life, and who is so intimately connected with you, I think that was when I really understood what grief meant. Previously, I didn't. So yeah, thanks, Selena, for saying amazing work you're doing. Is the cold face though so relevant? Yeah. So that was a comment to me supporting people with cancer. So in 2019, having had my mom pass away, I was really going through a period of recovering from all the exhaustion. I started to travel, and I started to run my workshops, and I was able to be part of a few sexuality or sex positive festivals. One is Wonderfruit, and I taught for the first time in Melbourne, which I loved. And for those of you who don't know, Melbourne is known as the sex capital of Australia, not Sydney. So we're talking about a sex capital, meaning like the most sex positive place. There are actually a lot of activities going on, sex clubs and so on. So there would be people who would fly from Sydney to Melbourne just for the weekend. So it was really interesting to have those experiences that I did have in Melbourne. And I was part of the Melbourne Sex Camp. It's called Sex Camp. And right now, the Melbourne Sex Camp is having like a break. So yeah, to be able to be there, to teach there, is a little bit of like a bucket list. So yeah, then in 2020, I went to Melbourne and taught there twice more, including the Easter Festival in Melbourne. And also taught in Bangkok, and then COVID hit in March. During that time, there was a 6-week lockdown in Singapore. So I, for the first time in more than 10 years, I was able to, I realized I never had such a long break from work. The most I've had is 2 weeks. I've never had anything longer than that. So to have 6 weeks off, to not see anybody, was such a relief. Being an introvert, being highly sensitive, every week feels a little bit overwhelming, because every week I'm meeting new people, and I do what I do, even though it's overwhelming, because I see as my life purpose to support as many people as I can. So to be able to not see anybody for 6 weeks was really heaven, was really amazing, was really fun. Every day I was doing something to make myself happy, and I would say that that probably was like one of the best times of my life in a long time. And so I realized how much rest I really need. And I look forward to giving myself more time off, scheduling it, enforcing it. So in 2020, because I had a lot of rest, and I was motivated and inspired. And so I actually ran 3 virtual festivals that year. So I ran Sugar and Spice, the first one. And basically, Sugar and Spice is an Asian virtual sexuality festival where we bring in different Asian presenters from all around the world to talk about different topics. And Sugar and Spice, the sex festival, actually had all kinds of different topics that a lot of Asians wouldn't have been exposed to. We would have representation from the GLBTQIA community. We would have sex workers. We would have people with disabilities, illness. We would have people talking about aging, talking about masculinity and femininity. And we would have Asians of different races as well, including people who are of Indian descent. It's really important to not just look from the lenses of someone who is in the majority in Singapore, which is Chinese. Chinese are the majority in Singapore. And so I do work with a lot of clients who come from India, and I understand how difficult and actually even more challenging it is for them to have access to sexuality education. So when I did Sugar and Spice, I made sure that I had representations from people of Indian descent, because it's really important to have as much inclusiveness as possible in my festival. And this was, of course, in the last few years, we have witnessed the Me Too movement. We have witnessed the whole dialogue around diversity and inclusiveness, but I wasn't doing Sugar and Spice to try to be diverse and inclusive. I really saw the need for it because of my work that I was doing with people who come from of Indian descent. And so I was really passionate about it even before I decided to do the festival. And so last year, I was so happy that I was able to work with this YouTube channel and website. Actually, it's called She the People TV. So She the People TV is run by, for lack of better words, Indian women, for Indian women. So it's a feminist website trying to advocate for gender equality and female empowerment. And I have been admiring their work for so long, and I tried to reach out to them a few times. And last year, they asked me to do some video content for them. And one of my videos, Things Women Love in Bed, has reached 1.4 million views. And this 1.4 million is definitely much more than any of the videos on my YouTube channel. So it's like I reserve my best content for them, or also because they have access to all this. They are really good at SEO and video editing and all that, that I was able to reach more people through She the People TV. So one of the virtual festivals that I did in 2020 was also a sexuality and disability festival. And I got it up and running in less than 3 months. It was a lot of work. It was very, very consuming. And there were 700 people who signed up for it. Not everybody attended it live, but they had access to the recording for 30 days. And enough funds came in that we were able to pay the presenters. And I walked away from the festival with nothing. I did the festival out of goodwill, and a lot of goodwill was generated from it. And when I decided to do Love Abilities, the virtual sexuality and disability festival, I didn't know if I would make a profit. And I also never intended to make a profit. I put in my time, my energy, my own money to create this festival. And yet, some people who didn't know the full picture and also didn't know who I was attacked me from the shadows and accused me of earning money off the backs of people with disabilities, when in reality, that was never the intention. So in order to protect the reputation of the festival, I decided to walk away from it. And I also realized, because of the nature of what it needed, a lot of the presenters were in the UK. I was really killing myself trying to reach out to presenters with disabilities at 2-3 a.m. in the morning to speak with them, to interview them, to chase them for things that I needed for publicity, like their profile and their photographs. And so it took so much out of me that I also, before the festival started, I also decided that I really didn't want to run this kind of festival anymore because of the time difference. And so when there were people who wanted to take over the festival, I gave the festival to them. So yeah, I really walked away from that festival feeling that I did the community a lot of good, but I also really didn't want to continue doing Love Abilities anymore. So now I guess after this break, we have a commercial break. So after this break, talk about what happened last year. So yeah, a little bit about myself for this episode. So stay tuned.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
If I could be you, and you could be me for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's minds.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Well, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes.
Hi, hi, we are back. That was one commercial break. So yes, join Own Times Radio Network if you like to be one of their hosts. If you always wanted to have a podcast and a TV show, but didn't know how to do it and also didn't want to do it all yourself from the ground up, they already have a ready pool of audience to support you in putting out your message across and being able to support more people through your work. I think a big part of being a helping professional is the fact that we just want to be of service. And yet there are people who do what they do to just kind of make money from it, as opposed to like a calling. People who are really of service versus people who are looking to, I guess, monetize. And I guess the difference is in the long haul. You can tell over time who the people who you follow really are and what they stand for. And I'm very grateful that I do have some people who have been following my work for a very long time, who I didn't even know had been following my work for a really long time, who who are benefiting from my content. So I really appreciate that when people tell me that they found my work and content useful, and also are specific about it, so that I know what I can focus on, so as that I can help more people moving forward. So yeah, we are at Eros Evolution. It's back. It's the first day of Chinese New Year. I have taken time away from all my responsibilities to be part of this show, and it's been a break of 5 years. I've been through the death of my mom, which has been one of the most difficult things that could have happened to me or to anyone, to lose a parent. And so a lot of what I've been focusing on the last few years has been work. And before the break, I was talking about what happened through COVID. So in 2020, I also started to work with Disabled People's Association in Singapore and with MINDS. So I started to do workshops for people with disabilities, and it went very well. I was featured in Channel News Asia, and through that feature, a lot of parents started to contact Disabled People's Association, and also they received funding to run programs for people with disabilities. So last year, I did 8 virtual sexuality events for people with disabilities, or people who the parents of children with disabilities. And the content is available. Actually, some of it is available on the This Ordinary Love YouTube channel. So you can search for it. It's DIS Ordinary Love. And 3 of the workshop content are up there in entirety. So you can, not in entirety, they've edited it. So you can check it out. So through Disabled People's Association, I was able to work with people who were referred to me from the state court in Singapore. So I worked with basically sex offenders who have disabilities, usually intellectual disabilities, usually autism. And so last year was really, really good for me to continue my work with people with cancer and people with disabilities. Last year, I the year before, in November 2020, I became the sexologist for a sexual wellness boutique in Singapore, or sex shop, called Pink Lifestyle. And that was October and November 2020, and then it carried on to last year. So I started working with Pink Lifestyle and was their sexologist. So most of the year, I actually spent a lot of time doing work for Pink Lifestyle, and through them, with them, and also on my own accord, was able to get a lot of media exposure. And so last year was really an explosion of media coverage for me. I appeared in a lot of local talk shows in Singapore, and I guess it helped me with my work, with my access, the publicity helped me to get more clients through a very difficult time where a lot of people were stuck at home, or a lot of people were feeling a lot of stress around job situation and things like that. So last 2 years has not been easy for a lot of people, and I really appreciate that. I was very fortunate that I had the time and resources and time and space to organize virtual sexuality festivals. Because of COVID, a lot of people were comfortable with online learning. And last year, when I did events through Zoom, I realized that because people were shy to talk about the topic of sexuality. So through Zoom, they don't have to show their faces. They can use an anonymous name. They can private message me. So a lot of times when I use that platform, it actually worked really, really well. And that accessibility to education and to their ease and comfort, the ability to run a virtual sexuality festival wouldn't have happened if not for COVID. If not for the fact that everybody was at home wanting to do interesting things and also were getting more comfortable with the use of technology for online events. So I do understand that using this as a platform, Zoom, for virtual events, it's not necessarily the best thing because we do lose out in the human touch. However, when you are talking about a topic like mine, which is very sensitive, you're talking about doing events for people with disabilities, or you're talking about trying to access speakers from all around the world, it wouldn't have been possible because it would just be too expensive for them to all travel to the same place. So it helped. And then also I was part of a few virtual sexuality festivals, not my own. One Tantra Festival and the Evolve Festival that was organized by my friend, both organized by my friend Eugene. So during COVID, the last 2 years, he has organized three of each. And he also probably sees that as the world is opening up again, that there's less of a need of an online virtual sexuality festival. So just like me, he's probably going to stop doing virtual sexuality festivals. So as for me, last year, because of all my work that I was doing for Pink Lifestyle, I also cut back on my events. So I did do one virtual sexuality festival, Sugar and Spice. So that was the third one that I did. And then I did five Sugar and Spice virtual sexuality talks. So I became the sexologist for Honeycomber Singapore, which is an online platform. And now I contribute to them monthly. So yeah, there's lots of content that I have produced out there that you can follow. You can follow my videos on She The People TV on YouTube. Just key in She The People TV, one word, and Amata, and you'll be able to find all my videos that I've done for them. I think so far I've done about 10, and I have made another 5 recently, so they will be released in the next few weeks. They tend to release one every Friday evening, Singapore time. So all in all, I would have to say that I have been really busy. So if 2020 was a year of more or less, more rest than usual, so if 2020 was a year of rest, then 2021 would be a year of partnerships where I had a lot of media coverage. I had a lot of writing. I really worked like I've never worked before. I worked so hard last year. And this year, I want this to be the year of content creation. I do have 4 books, and it's always my desire to produce more books. And I would love to produce one book every year. And that was not possible last year when I was working so many hours for Pink Lifestyle. So now that I've learned to be a little bit more strategic with my time and energy and what kind of projects that I put myself into. So this year, I want to focus very much on content creation, which is why the desire of coming back to Om Times Radio Network and resume Eros Evolution. So we have 15 minutes to the show wrap up. I want to talk about my intention for this podcast. I think people who can speak, people who can draw, people who can write, people who can dance, all of us are seeking to express ourselves, and that comes from a place of wellness, and that comes from a place that is really deep in our soul. The soul cannot help but want to express. And so for me as a sex educator, having access to the opportunities that I have, being a born and bred Singaporean Chinese, I really want to have guests who are also of Asian descent. That's not to say that I won't have other colleagues of mine that are like super amazing in who they are and what they do. So I have reached out to many people, and a lot of them have said yes. So I have a very interesting lineup of guests coming up in the next few episodes. So what's going to happen is, in previous year, having had a chat with Chris, the station manager, asked him like what feedback he had for me, and I guess this is like the most interesting part for all of you, is that I asked him like, did he actually have any feedback for my previous, my show that I did for 3 years? And he said that I was the only one of all his hosts at that time who actually shared their personal stories. And when I shared my personal stories, the energy was different. And so there will be times that I'll be really clinical and everything, and then there'll be times that I'll be really personal. And so he actually felt like it was really interesting show that I had that was different from other hosts. And so that's when it kind of clicked with me, because I was still trying to figure out my kind of my angle and my approach and how I would want to do things differently, including needing to have visual, being able to see my guests, and being able to have the visual, the video recording of the podcast is very important to me. So besides that, it's like what worked and what will work better. And so then it occurred to me that why it was Eros Evolution was draining a lot of my energy was because I was interviewing guests, I was showcasing them, I was putting out their work, I was talking about them, I was drawing out of them who they are and what they do and highlighting them and celebrating them. But then it wasn't really about me. It wasn't really about what I knew, and it wasn't really about us having a conversation and us having a dialogue. So that's when it occurred to me, hey, you know what? It can't be just always about helping other people, because I tend to do that. I tend to go in and rescue people and even like, you know, celebrate other presenters and highlight them. And that's what I did with Sugar and Spice. But what about me? What about injecting my personality into Eros Evolution? So that's when it kind of clicked with me. And that's when I say, okay, let's do it. Let's do it in the form of a talk show. Let's just not do it like a interview, because it gets really boring. Because being a sexologist for 13 years, I kind of like know a little bit of everything. And I kind of have an opinion about everything. But maybe I don't know everything, of course. But I do have an opinion. I do know about a lot of healing modalities. And so I really didn't want it to be just, I ask, you answer. So it's going to be a talk show kind of a format. So I will have on some episodes one guest, and on other episodes two guests, to make it more interesting and kind of curate it. And inspire and support people in your personal and sexual evolution. So yeah, my desire is to speak, is to express, is to inspire, is to share, is to support people to grow, and also to grow myself. Okay, I also will be going to grow through this process. And so yeah, that's pretty much my intention for the show. And I have written down some notes. Okay, so if you want to give me suggestions about who I should have on this on this show, and what kind of topics I should include or must include, then you can reach out to me. I've created, because previously I didn't have it, I've created a Facebook page for Eros Evolution, the show, and also an Instagram account just for Eros Evolution, which previously I didn't have. So you can follow me, comment, and at facebook.com / Eros Evolution Show, and then Instagram Eros Evolution Show. And if you like to follow me on all the other platforms that I have, I actually have a TikTok channel called DR Martelly. So yeah, follow me on TikTok. And you know what? Something very funny, interesting happened the last 1 week with my TikTok channel. I put out so much content, right? And then I asked my assistant to help me to do a snippet of the most interesting part of the video, because, you know, TikTok is like really short. So instead of me trying to make short videos, I just asked my assistant to edit it. And so I was having like 701 person following me on TikTok. And she put out this video, and suddenly it exploded. And now I have 11,000 people follow me on TikTok. So from 700, like, you know, less than 1,000 to like 100% increase. So like, what video was that? What video was it that caused my TikTok? So basically one video went viral and it has been viewed 800,000 times now, coming to 900,000. So 8,800 times. So coming to 900,000 times. So yeah, that video was on nipple orgasm, the secret of having epic nipple breast orgasm. That video has been watched so many times, and then it led to a lot of people following me on TikTok. So yeah, it is entirely possible, as long as you keep putting out your best work. I think I have been doing what I've been doing for so long, and it's like, it's almost sometimes like trying to squeeze water out of stone, and it hasn't been easy. So I just keep going, and you just never know what really works. I guess that's my point in sharing that little story with TikTok. Not to say that put out only sensationalized content. That's not the point. The thing is, sometimes you never know what resonates with different people. And as healing practitioners, like we just do what we can and focus on our mission rather than focus on fame or popularity. And it's also important to make our content as attractive, as presentable, as interesting as possible for different people. So yeah, okay. So we have like 10 more minutes. So let me just share what I have next week. I already started to mention just now. I have a Poly Wen Asian or Poly Wild Asian coming on the show. Then I have on February 15, which is one day after Valentine's Day, I have Valentina, who is a relationship coach based in Hong Kong, coming. And then in February 22nd, I have Mary Victor coming. She's going to talk about body neutrality, being body neutral. So we all hear about positivity, but she believes that we need to actually achieve body neutral. And I'm all about positivity. So I actually have the question of, why do we want to be neutral about our bodies when isn't love, isn't body love a higher vibration? Do I want to be mad about my body, or do I just want to really, really like focus on being loving to my body? So just to share a little bit, because of all the work that I have been indoors, you know, a lot of us have been indoors for the last 2 years. So I have gained weight, and last year I was doing so much work for Pink Lifestyle. You won't believe it. I was actually burning out and getting like really depressed towards the end of last year. I was crying, and when I talked about it with my friends. So this year I'm recalibrating everything. But last year, because of COVID, because of my fear of going to the gyms, because as you know, gyms are air conditioned and the circulation is not so good, and gyms is one of the most likely place you can catch COVID. So I actually didn't go to the gym last year. I've only gone back to it this year, and I'm really feeling much better for it. So yeah, last year I gained weight, and at one point I was really so unhappy with my body that I was just really not happy. I was just like scolding or blaming my body all the time. And it got to a point that I had to sit myself down and actually tell myself that what I was doing was not beneficial. It was not useful to myself, to my well-being at all. And I needed to be more compassionate to myself. So I basically dropped that question into my body, which is, can I love my body no matter what size I get? And the answer is I have to, because this is my temple, this is my house, this is the house of my soul, this is what I depend on to move from place A to place B, and to support me in all the things that I want to accomplish. So regardless of what size that I get, I'm not going to scold my body anymore. I'm just going to love her no matter what size I get. And so that kind of shifted for me. And I think it's easy to talk about it, but until you have the embodied experience, it's still a bit hard. It's still a bit, hard to understand. Yeah, but then I actually went through that with my own body. Each and every day, I just tell my body, I love you. Hello, how are you? Thank you for supporting me. Yeah. And on March 1, you know, International Women's Day will be coming in 8th of March. Chinese called San Ba Fu Ni Jie. So yeah, I'm going to have different guests talk about being women and talk about their sexuality and talk about empowerment and all that good stuff. And then on March 8, I'm going to get two of my friends who are conscious men to talk about what it's like for them being men and being fathers, both of them, and both of them having parents who are going through cancer. So it's going to be really, really interesting show having these two conscious men with me. I really adore them a lot, and both of them have appeared in my Sugar and Spice Festival. In March 15, I'm going to get my friend, Dr. Lee Philip, who specializes in sexuality and disability, to come on the show. I have been following Lee's work for quite some time, and I just really, really adore them so much. And on March 22, I'm going to have maybe one or two, but definitely one of them has said yes. One of my friends who is on the LGBTQIA spectrum, I believe identifies as transgender, to come on the show. And on March 29, I have Cam Frazier, who is somebody who talks a lot about the role of being a male and masculinity, to come on. And April 15, I have to line up somebody because the date doesn't work for the person that I had originally asked. And April 12, I have hope to have Lenny, my classmate from the Institute of Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, to come aboard, and she will be talking about birds and bees. She's well known for doing and talking about sex education for parents. April 19, I have an award-winning poet and author, Felix, come on. So yes, I've just read out to you my show schedule for February, March, and April, more or less. So yeah, these are all the things that you can look out for on this show. It's going to be interactive. It's going to be fun, useful, informational, empowering, hopefully inspiring, and supporting you with your sexuality to evolve. And there's so many things that I can talk about, but I want to say that that our sexuality is such a precious, important part of who we are. A lot of people who I work with always ask me, like, why is it I have no sex drive or low sex drive? The reality is that our sexuality comes from a place of wellness, in my opinion. People who are sick, who are going through cancer, they tend to suffer with their sex drive. And that's because the body is doing what the body needs to do to take care of what is immediate, that needs immediate attention. If you're fighting cancer, your body's energy is going towards fighting the cancer cells. And so the cancer treatments will also take a toll on your body. So will medication for people who are going through illnesses. And so it's really, really important that we take care of our sexuality and do what we can. Sometimes we cannot do certain things. Like last year, I didn't want to exercise. I couldn't exercise. I was working all the time. And so it was really important to understand everything that happens goes through ebbs and flows. There's a time and season for everything. There's a time you're working and then you're neglecting your body. And then you need to make adjustments of what is not working and then focus on what does work. And no matter what we are going through, it's really important to not just focus on the negative, to look at it at face value and then focus on what you can do to make things better for yourself, step by step, one day at a time. It's really not that, it's really all about awareness rather than judgment. I think being aware is the first step of change that can happen. And so it's really important to focus on that. So yeah, with that, we've come to the end of the show. And I'd like to encourage you to also subscribe to my mailing list. That's eroscoaching.com. That's when you will be able to get all the announcements and of my work. And I would really love to hear from all of you about who to have, who to highlight, things like that. So yeah, this has been Martha of Eros Evolution, and my practice is actually called Eros Coaching. That's eroscoaching.com. So thank you everybody for your time, attention, support, and it's good to be back. Yeah, happy Chinese New Year. 恭喜发财, 红包, 如果有的话可以拿来. Happy Tiger Year for everybody. May it be a better year than it has been last year. And we all hope for better and better.